Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
On SENZ.
It's 3:03 here on SENZ. It is Phoenix Nation, thanks to Oppo. Coming up on the show, Captain Fantastic Alex Roofer joins us. He's just signed a new three-year deal. We'll catch up with Roofs. We'll find out what the key to him scoring goals all of a sudden is. And we'll talk about his All Whites recall as well. Nat Lawrence, the big boss lady of the Wellington Phoenix A-League Liberty team, is on as well. They've got one game left for the season. They play the Victory this weekend. Something on it for both teams. Victory need to win to make sure they make the playoffs. Phoenix, if they could win, can avoid the wooden spoon. So we'll talk to Natalie about that. Right now, though, the man they call Chiefy, Giancarlo Italiano, the number two to Ufuk Tele, joins us. G'day, Chiefy. How you doing, mate?
Very good, Ricardo. It's been a while. I haven't spoken since the World Cup.
Yeah, mate, it's been a long time, actually. It's been a long time. We didn't have a lot to say, did we, given, you know, we both support Italy about the World Cup. It was a tenuous conversation, that one.
Yeah, well, it's a very short one.
Hey, mate, I've got to ask you. I saw the Phoenix put out a story, I think, last week, might have been the week before, that both you and Chris Greenacre have achieved your UEFA Pro licences. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not the UEFA Pro. It's the AFC Pro, which is the under the Asian Confederation.
That is the
it's
pro...
The same. Yeah, sorry, it's the same equivalency, but yeah, it is the highest license in the Asian region.
Of course, that you need to have that license, right, or that accreditation to be able to be a head coach in the A-League. Is that correct?
That's right. So as it stands, as long as you're sitting on the pro license, you'll be qualified to sit as a head coach. But it is needed by all the head coaches.
Yeah, right. Can you see where I'm going with this conversation? Because I know there's a certain head coach who's out of contract at the end of the season. I'm just wondering what your plans might be.
Well, my plans are I'm waiting to find out whether Uffy's re-signed for next year, and then we just move accordingly.
I know that you're number two to Uffy and you guys are tight and you've done a lot of work together, but, I mean, where do you want to take your coaching career? You've obviously gone and got your pro licence, so you can be a head coach. Is that something you do want to do at some point?
Oh, at some point. The ambition is always when you start coaching is to be a head coach. I think that's... or anyone that wants to get into the performance side, which is the men's seniors. Being realistic, these opportunities are far and few. So it's more about being patient and being able to just enjoy the ride more than anything. And then if the opportunity does come, that you grab it with both arms.
Yeah, indeed. All right, mate. Well, what have you learnt in that process? Because you've been in the game for a long time, right? You know, you spent time at other A-League clubs as well. So, I mean, how much better a coach do you think it's made you from when you started doing these licences to now?
Well, it's a good question. I think the one thing that all the licences provided by the FFA basically give you a great foundation to have processes in place so that you're very clear on your ideas in coaching, you know, from your playing style to your training model, to how you work on match days, all the way through how you deal with the business side, which is more relevant in the A-League, the business of football, how you deal with agents, how you recruit, what your scouting methods are. So it gives you a lot of texture in that sense. It makes you think about how you want your players developed, and how you fuse, for example, ideas of the academy and how it ties into the first team. So there's quite a bit to it. These courses are really good at giving you that platform, and it's basically you have the responsibility yourself to develop it as much as you want.
So it feels like it's less about actual coaching and more about structure and giving you, I guess, a roadmap of how to get from A to B.
Yeah, so I would say the best way of looking at the licenses is the C to the A is a way of giving you a process on how to teach, not necessarily what to teach, but basically how you get your message across, how you conduct sessions. And then when you get to the pro, it's really about the formalities, the business side, how you deal with stakeholders, how you deal with the expectations of the role, media, all the things that you don't account for in the earlier process. So I think your assumed knowledge at the pro is that you already know the football side, and it just tries to get you to deal with all the other things that you don't think about.
Look at this weekend, mate. You got the Melbourne Victory, a team you know very well, in town. Last time we played them, it didn't go so well, and you got to beat the bottom of the table if you want to be host the home semi-final. So what's the message been this week for the players?
Well, I think the messaging has been fairly consistent, going back to what works for us, and making sure we have our structure in place in how we attack and how we defend. Despite them being on the bottom of the table, it's still a very tough team to beat. A lot of those players that they have are a very good individual, good one-on-one, and they're a very well-structured team. I think they've been very unlucky this year, where they've had a lot of results go against them, where otherwise last year they were going for them. So we respect them as much as any of the other opponents in the league.
In terms of the squad for this weekend, you've got Oscar Zavada back, of course. He's a massive piece for you. How is everybody else looking?
Yeah, no, it's good to have Oscar back. It's great that... He had his child, and he's raring to go. It looks like this week we're pretty much close to full capacity in terms of squad availability. So that's very good for competition. The squad's very healthy, and it just basically puts everyone on toes and making sure they're ready to fly up come game day.
Yeah, exactly, which is what we want to see, because there's not too many games left, mate, to try and cement a home semi-final, right? And that would be massive. First season back in the country playing properly at home to manage to secure that.
Yeah, for us, the goal is always to make the six. Whether we finish in the top four to get the home semi-final would be an added bonus. It's definitely something that we are striving for, because we're still in a really good position. But just getting to the semis will be an outstanding achievement, especially with our first year settled back.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, have you guys, when you do your goal setting, you get to certain stages of the season, do you reset? Do you have those conversations either as a leadership team or as a squad?
We're cognizant of the fact that there's a certain target to reach the six, and we don't really... sit down and reassess every couple of games. We just take game by game. And now that we're 5 to 6 games out, I think we start to put more of a focus on that. But we do take things gradually. We try not to get too far ahead of ourselves, because it can serve as a bit of a distraction.
On distractions, mate, there's obviously been a few players who have decided on their futures for next season. And there were a lot of rumours going around. The press were reporting a few things, and a lot of rumours on the fan message boards. You guys got ahead of that, I think, better than a lot of sporting organisations do, and just came out with it and just said, hey, look, this is what's happening next year. Now we can get on with this year. How did you deal with it internally, and how are those conversations?
Well, players will always... make sure that they look out for themselves, and that's appropriate. Sometimes in this market, unfortunately, the way it's structured, it can be, that because we do so well on the park, people find our players as valuable assets, they're highly sought after. So, I think those things are normal. It's no different to any other season. I think that the conversation is had internally within the group, but it's I kind of look at it really good, in a good way, that a lot of teams want our players.
It's always that's always a bit of a compliment to the coaching staff, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we like to take them. But it means that we're doing the right things. I mean, if you look at our track record with the foreigners and the local players that have come through, you know, we've had a Johnny Warren medalist that's come through the ranks. We've had some very good foreigners come through. We've had a lot of local players, even players like Cam Delvin who've moved overseas. So for us, it's validation of the work that we're doing.
Yeah, you're doing some very good work there, Chiefy. All right, well, you got these games left, a few games left. We're hopeful for a home semi-final. When is it appropriate to start talking about a title?
I think it'll be appropriate when we make the grand final. And up until then, I wouldn't put too much emphasis on it, because there's still a lot of football to be played. There's a lot of variables. I think if you look at the competition, there's still, I think, 10 teams still involved for the top six. There's still two or three teams that are still vying for that first spot. So there's going to be a lot of movement. And you know as well as I do, momentum in sport is an amazing thing. I think if we put everything together, we can be very, very close to the top there. But at the same time, it means that we have to be consistent and really work at what we do well. I have confidence that we can do it, but at the same time, I'm also a game-by-game sort of person.
Good stuff, Chiefy. All right, mate. Hey, listen, thanks very much for your time today, bud. Go well. Best of luck for the weekend. Hopefully we get another W, another 3 points against the Victory. Put the old enemy away, as they say, and get a bit closer to that home semi-final.
Thanks, Ricardo.
Cheers, mate. Yeah, you too. Giancarlo Italiano, the assistant coach of the Wellington Phoenix, there with us. It is 3:15. When we come back, we talk to Natalie Lawrence, the head coach of the Liberty A-League women's team.
Featuring SuperVOOC, lightning quick smartphone charging tech. This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ.
You're on Phoenix Nation. Thanks to Oppo here on SENZ, and the big boss lady of the Wellington Phoenix women's team, Nat Lawrence, joins us. G'day, Nat. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, mate, my pleasure. Always happy to talk footy with you, mate. And, of course, we're coming into the last game of the season. There's something on it for both teams against the Victory at the Caketon. Should be a cracker.
Yeah, it should be a great game. I was just talking to the guys in the office. I was like, we just wanted to make it really interesting and get more fans, you know. So, must win for both teams. So it's a bit of an exciting game for us to end on.
I like how you've included the marketing department and ticket sales into your thought pattern here.
Of course. One club together. Collaboration. Yeah.
Indeed, mate. Indeed. I mean, because last weekend would have been disappointing, right? The team would have been up knowing that a win against Newcastle gets you out of the wooden spoon position. That didn't happen. So what did you say afterwards, and how did you turn it around? Because that game against Adelaide was magnificent.
Yeah, it was. It's a lot of credit to the players, to be honest. Like, after Newcastle was a real tough one to take, there was a lot of emotion. But we spoke about, like, allowing ourselves to feel that, allowing ourselves to feel that, like, hurt or feeling a little bit sorry for ourselves, but moving on really, really quickly. And we've had games in the season where we felt that, and the players have just been like, we want to play tomorrow. Well, this was the opportunity to do it. This was the opportunity where we didn't dwell on kind of what didn't necessarily work out for us against Newcastle, and we were able to just fully focus on Adelaide. We travelled with a larger squad, so from like a team perspective, that was great having everyone there. We were able to make changes. I thought we were quite brave in our changes and showed that the quality of the squad that we had, and even the players that weren't part of either the Newcastle game or the Adelaide game, they had a role and they fulfilled their role really well. So it was kind of a message of we've got nothing to lose but everything to gain from this game. And I thought that whilst it maybe wasn't our prettiest game of the season in possession, I thought that I felt like we were in control of that game against Adelaide. And, you know, we took our chances, which is something that we've been talking about all season. So we were really, really pleased. And, you know, we've reviewed the game today. We've previewed Melbourne victory today. There's a lot of recovery happening so that we can come out firing again.
Well, I guess that's the other thing is how do you balance that, right? You know, you've got you had the midweek game, which was very close to last weekend's game. You got this game, so what is that like? 3 games in 8 days. How are the squad looking? And are you confident you can put your best team out?
Yeah, the squad are looking good. Like the positive part is that a lot of them have been through World Cups. A lot of have been through the Youth World Cups, especially where it goes. It is like this. It's game, 2 days game, and rest, recovery, and being a little bit more creative with a bit of video work is really, really key. So obviously as staff, we've been through that as well. So we're able to draw on our experiences for that to prepare for this. Being able to rest and utilize players throughout the 3 games is really, really helpful. And I think that you know, it's like when you do you do like a form of exercise or anything, and you get to that last 10 seconds and all of a sudden you find the energy to sprint or to really pull it out there for the last part. This is what we're hoping for for this game, that you know, we know it's our last game, and everyone will kind of leave everything on the field. And the squad's looking good; they're looking fit, they're looking healthy, and it's gonna be hard to pick just a 16 from the performances that we've seen. But we'll definitely aim to put our strongest team out.
I'd imagine Millie Clegg might make it.
Millie did well. You know, she celebrated her first call up to the Ferns with 2 goals. So Millie's looking pretty good. She's pretty happy.
And everybody's different, right? So people are different, players are different, but we've talked earlier in the season about Alyssa Winham, and you know, she burst onto the scene, everybody expected great things, and maybe that pressure got to her a bit. How have you managed Millie differently, if at all, to how maybe Alyssa got handled in that first second year?
Yeah, I think, you know, Alyssa's had a bit of a disjointed year, and, you know, she would have grown a lot from kind of the things that she's faced. And, you know, we're trying to help her through that as well. And this injury has come probably at a bad time for her. But she knows that she's back next season. She knows that she's got a bright future. And it also just proves that us as coaches, us as the media, us as fans need to not just heap a whole pile of pressure onto these kids. We've learned a lot from that. And, you know, Millie is different to Alyssa. I wouldn't compare them at all, but I've definitely feel like I've been pretty honest in the media about being patient with Millie and not putting her under this pressure. And, you know, I think sometimes that is taken into account and sometimes it's not, but Millie's got to where she is through doing what she needs to. She hasn't been in the team the whole season. She's worked hard. She's worked hard to get consistent and, you know, deserves a chance at the Ferns. And I think a call up at the end of the season rather at the start of the season is probably right for her. She has parents from high performing backgrounds who are very, very clued up, who give her heaps of support. And, you know, I really enjoy bumping into them at games as well and just chatting about things. So, we're able to learn from a lot last season. And, Millie will, she'll do a great job at the Ferns. She's got a good head on her shoulders.
What about yourself, Nat? I mean, come Saturday afternoon, you'll have had 18 games as head coach in a professional environment. How do you think you've changed as a coach from, you know, when you got the job to now?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think I continue to evolve. I think that, you know, early on, some naive mistakes were maybe made, and I look now at the team and our processes and how the team's playing and kind of like how the culture is in the squad, and I'm really pleased with what we've managed to create given the time. And yeah, I know that, like, you know, being on my pro license is a huge thing for me, to be able to continue work on my like leadership and moving from an assistant into a head coach. That's going to be crucial. And yeah, we're always reviewing what we do as coaches, like we do with the players. So yeah, I feel like throughout the season, the football that I had in my mind that I wanted us to play is starting to be played. And I've been really, really pleased with the progressions that we've seen. If we get off top of bottom of the league this weekend, then that's kind of the icing on the cake. But, you know, even without that, I look at what this team can do given time, and it could be pretty exciting.
Be very exciting. How many of that team will be in yellow and black next year, do you reckon?
That's a great question. We currently have two signed. And yeah.
I say that because there's a lot of one-year deals, obviously, not to disparage the players, but I just know there's a lot of one-year deals.
Chloe and Alyssa are the only ones with two-year deals. And then, you know, I think the club, there's a core group that the club should re-sign. And then, yeah, you've also got to look at whether the restrictions are lifted on the squad, whether there's budget for imports and the ability to get imports. And but yeah, I think we have a really good core group that this team could be built around for the next 2 or 3 years.
And I guess that leads me into the million-dollar question. Natty, are we going to have you to talk to next season? Have you had those conversations?
You're probably asking the wrong person. yeah, like, again, a little bit out of my hands, on a one-year contract currently. So those kind of talks at board level are ongoing. And I have, yeah, made it quite clear that I see a bright future in this club and in this team. I think that the staff that we have are the right staff to lead it, and given more time and you know, like a stronger pre-season and keeping the nucleus of the squad together and adding some older heads, some more experience and some more quality, this team, if we continue on the trajectory that we are, this team can achieve big things. So yeah, that's kind of my messaging anyway. But whatever kind of happens, it's been a pleasure bringing this team to games at home and getting some great results along the way, getting some frustrating ones also. And yeah, just seeing the kind of the players develop as players and people has been a bit of a pleasure to see.
Yeah, mate. Well, and it's always a pleasure to talk football with you, as you know, as I've said. So I wish you all the best for the weekend and beyond that as well. And yeah, fingers crossed we get those 3 points and leave the Jets bottom of the pile, eh?
I know. Yeah, bit of a cup final for us. So yeah, but hopefully Wellington gets on a good day and we get some fans out there. The fans that whenever we've had double headers and the fans start to kind of flock in, we have our like core group, which is amazing, and then you get the fans flock in just before the men's game, and they really spur the girls on for that last 30 or so minutes. So let's hope we get a good crowd this weekend to get that over the line.
Yeah, 100%, man, 100%. We'll go well, and like I say, best of luck, Matt. You're on Phoenix Nation here on SENZ, thanks to Oppo. 26 away from 4 o'clock with skipper Alex Rufer still to come. He just, of course, signed a new three-year deal at the Phoenix, which will take him through till he's 29. He's still only 26. Feels like he's been around forever. Not in a bad way, but just I thought he was older than that. There we go. Having a look at this weekend's matchups, actually. West Sydney Wanderers are at home to Adelaide. They're paying $1.91. Adelaide, $3.40. Draws 360. I don't mind some of that. Craig Goodwin at Adelaide goes great. He's probably the best player in the league. The best Aussie player in the league anyway. So never write Adelaide out. So I reckon there's some potential value there. Then on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff, the Phoenix take on the Victory. Phoenix at 237, the Victory 270, the draw 350. Get all over the Phoenix there. We lost last time in Melbourne to the Victory, but they are bottom of the league for a reason. We should have too much, especially with Oscar Zavada back. Central Coast Mariners kick off at 7 against the Brisbane Roar. They should take care of that as well. They're paying $1.80, the draw at $3.60, the Roar out at $3.75. And then at 9:45 Saturday night, a game that really I think is a lot closer than these odds suggest. $1.72 for Sydney FC, who have been rocks and diamonds, shall we say, this season. Then Western United, who are the defending champions, are paying $4, $3.60 on the draw. I know Western United probably won't make the playoffs, but I think they're certainly better than $4. And given the way Sydney go, I reckon that's a lot closer. So maybe one where you can find some value there in the draw at $3.60. And then Sunday, it's Saturday night, Sunday morning. Perth kick off against MacArthur in Perth. $1.91 favourites against MacArthur, $3.30. Perth do seem to have sorted a few things out there. They should get that win at home, the draw at $3.50. And then our Sunday afternoon game, Melbourne City take on the Newcastle Jets. And you're all over Melbourne City here. If you need an anchor for the weekend, this is it. Melbourne City at $1.33. The Jets at $6.50. And the draw at $5. It is 24 away from 4 o'clock. Up next, Alex Rufer joins the show. This is Phoenix Nation on SENZ. And joining us now is the skipper of the Wellington Phoenix, Alex Rufer. G'day, Alex. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, good, thank you. Been a bit of a mental week for me, but yeah, just really happy.
Mate, I bet. A new three-year deal, which keeps you tied to the club till you're 29. I did a double take, mate, when I was reading up. It said you're still only 26. Feels like you've been there forever.
Yeah. Obviously came as a young lad and I'm still here. So yeah, just really proud and just looking forward to my best years ahead of me.
Mate, what is it about the club that made you want to, commit for another 3 years?
To be perfectly honest, mate, I'm really happy here. I love the club. It's a, very, very family-orientated club. And, for me, that's really important. We've got a good group of lads. And as I said, it comes down to being happy, and I feel like I'm most happy here.
You have had opportunities. I know. I know that your uncle told me once he had some opportunities to go to Switzerland and to Germany and trial and things, but you decided to stay here. So those opportunities have been there. Do you feel like the A-League's at a point now where you can play your best football and still be recognised here without having to go to Europe?
100%. You only have to look around the league at other clubs and to see what they've been doing and how they've been producing players and selling them. So, yeah, look, for me, as I said, I am really happy here. Of course, I did want to try to go overseas, but at the end of the day, it comes down to where you think you're going to be playing your best football. And ultimately, you have to make the decision as the player to where you're going to be the most happy. And I believe that's here.
Now, you've signed that deal, so you're here for another 3 years. Did you manage to, in your new contract, Alex, put a goal-scoring bonus in there? Because this year, you're on fire compared to the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, look, I mean, a goal bonus would have been nice, eh? But no, look, to be honest, mate, at the end of the day, for me, I'm not really too worried about scoring goals. Of course, they make a difference. But for me, as long as we're winning games, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, what do you think the change has been? Is it just maybe the guys around you? Is it something you've changed in your game? Is it something tactically Ufie's put in that's seen you hit the net twice after you own 100 games without?
I think for me, it's just taking more risks in front of goal. Obviously, my second goal was a penalty, and obviously it wasn't a game where we were down, so that didn't really affect the game too much. But for me, just taking more chances in front of goal and just trying to be ruthless in front of it.
Are you the designated penalty taker now for the Knicks, mate? Because we've had a few troubles on that front this season.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'll always put my hand up. Obviously, Zavada was taking them before I stepped up last weekend, so I'm sure he'll want them too. But look, at the end of the day, as I said, if Zavada's confident and boys are confident, I have no problem with allowing other players to, you know, to have their turn.
Things have it's been a really, I guess you would say, strong season for you. You come back from your knee injury. We've mentioned the scoring goals, captain of the side, but also that All Whites recall as well. What did that mean to you?
Oh, I mean, the world to me. Since I was a young boy, it was a goal of mine to obviously play for the national team, and, you know, to put on that shirt is a dream come true again. Obviously, I was out for 4 years. I hadn't been involved for a long time, and to be back involved, just really grateful, and, you know, hopefully there's many more to come.
Yeah, I mean, you basically, I think you got your start, the Myanmar game where you made your debut, was that under Hudson?
Yeah, so I started under Hudson. And was involved for quite a few camps with Hudson, almost probably every one. And although I didn't play many minutes, I was, you know, often in the team and amongst the group. And then obviously Danny Hay gave me a chance 4 years ago, and then unfortunately just wasn't recalled, which can happen. And, you know, now I'm back in, I want to stay there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you probably offer something that we don't have a lot of, right? We've got a lot of guys who like to go forward in midfield, but we don't have a lot of guys who can just sit and protect that back four, and you probably do that better than anybody else we've got.
Yeah, look, as you said, I think I am different to what we have in there, and, you know, obviously I do want to play as many games as possible, and I'll always put my hand up for the national team. So I think the important thing is, as long as I keep playing my best football here, I'll give myself every opportunity to play. For the national team.
Yeah, great that you have, you know, said, confirm you're staying. You've signed this new deal, because we know there's going to be a few changes at the Knicks. Ollie's gone, obviously Clayton and Stevie Ugarkovich look like they're going as well. And we're not sure what's happening with Ufi. So it feels like this gives the club some solidity now. I think there's, what, 12 players now that you've signed that are definitely going to be there for next season.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, with players playing well and with the quality that we have, at the end of the season, you're always going to lose players, and obviously, you know, potentially could lose Ufi, which, unfortunately, in football, that's the way it happens. And obviously, we wish them all the best. They're great players and they're great characters, so they're going to be big losses. But, you know, at the end of the day, we can't worry about, you know, what we've lost now. We have to look to the future, and, you know, I believe the club will do well in trying to replace them.
I suppose the other thing you've got to do is you've got to go, right, let's just embrace the now, right? These guys that we just mentioned, we know they're going to be here for the next 2 months, so let's make those 2 months memorable. What's the goal from here for you, and what's the conversations been like as a team?
Look, as you said, you hit the nail on the head. It's about the now, being present, not looking too far ahead. And look, as you said, those boys are leaving, but, you know, we know as a group, and they as individuals, they're going to give everything they can to give their best for the rest of the season, and you know, hopefully go well towards the end of the year and push for a home final spot. So, as I said, they're going to give their best, and that's the most important thing.
And I guess that's where this weekend comes in too, right? I mean, last time you played Melbourne Victory was over there. And, you know, I know they're a storied club with a great history, but they haven't been going great this year, and you've got to beat those teams below you. You didn't do it last time. So if you want a home semi-final, this is a game you have to win, right? You need 3 points this Saturday.
100%. Every game from now is massive games, but we have to focus on this weekend, and that's against Melbourne Victory, as you said. And for us, we need to win the game and get 3 points and just slowly keep moving up the ladder and trying to catch the teams above us rather than worrying about the teams below us.
When you look at, you know, Melbourne, you look at the ladder, you see Melbourne Victory down the bottom, and it's still a head-scratcher for me, especially with Tony Popovich involved. How much do you pay attention to what's going on at other clubs around the league?
Look, to be honest, we are pretty focused on ourselves. Of course, you keep an eye on the table. We know where we are as a team. We know where Melbourne Victory are as a team. But I think the most important thing is to worry about yourself and worry about where we are, what we need to do. And that's putting out good performances. And if you do that, you'll give yourself the best possibility of getting a good result in the weekend.
as somebody who's been a Phoenix fan since the start, I was at that first game against Melbourne Victory at the Cake Tin, mate. They're always a team that there's been a bit of a rivalry with. Do you have that as a player? I mean, are there certain teams that when you come up against them, you go, right, this is a team I definitely want to win. I can't lose this game because I want to beat this team so badly.
Oh, you go into every game thinking that. But yeah, I agree. Melbourne Victory have always been a team that you want to beat because for many years they've been the best. And, you know, yes, they're down the bottom, but they are still a strong team and you can't take them lightly. So we want to win this game and we want to win every other game. So, yeah, of course, there are games that might mean a bit more to players personally if they've played there or had derbies in the past. But we take every game as serious as the other team. So, yeah, we're coming into this game only wanting 3 points.
Yeah, mate. And, 3 points go a long way to hopefully securing a home semi-final. We've still got a few rounds to go, but need to collect all those points. Hey, Alex, before we let you go, mate, I'd like to do a quick five shots from the penalty spot, if you like. Five quick questions to get to know you better. You ready for that?
Hit me.
All right, mate. What's if I grab your phone now and have a look on your Spotify playlist, mate, what's the last thing you played?
Okay, the last thing I played was Morgan Wallen last night.
Morgan Wallen? I don't know. What style of music's that?
It's a bit of country, to be honest, mate. The boys are, a couple of us don't mind a bit of country. So, yeah, it's a bit left field, but it's good music.
Yeah, nice, mate. You, a bit of line dancing in the sheds after the game?
Yeah. I'm not a dancer, mate, but, yeah, a couple of lads get around it.
Yeah, nice, mate. Nice. All right. What about you got a weekend off, mate? No training on the Sunday, no game on the Saturday. You get a free hit. What's your cheat meal and what's your cheat weekend look like?
Okay. My cheat meal would probably be, well, it doesn't sound like a cheat meal, but I love seafood, mate. So I'd probably go hard on a lot of seafood, the whole lot. I'm a big fan of everything. And I'd probably go fishing on the Saturday and then golf on the Sunday.
What do you play off?
Oh, I'm only a 20, but I'm more there for the banter with the lads because a couple of lads are quite good, so I'm more there for a laugh.
Nice. Do you put anything on a hole? Do you get a shot per hole or anything like that?
Yeah, so usually I get a shot per hole, and a couple of lads are in single figures, which obviously makes it tough. But I'm always there for a good time.
Mate, good there for a challenge. Your old man plays a bit too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's probably a little bit better than me, but obviously whenever we play it gets pretty competitive, so it always brings the best out of me.
Nice, mate, nice. What about what's on the goggle box at night, mate? Have you got a favorite movie or a Netflix series or anything that you're following?
Big fan of The Last of Us and Peaky Blinders.
Nice, yeah, quality shows those, mate. Quality shows those. Hey, now it's no secret you come from a footballing family, but as a kid, was there a player that you looked up to who maybe you had the poster on the wall, whose shirt you wanted at Christmas, that type of thing?
I had a poster of Cristiano Ronaldo for many years, and then but to be fair, my biggest inspiration was actually probably my dad and my uncle. So I was very lucky that. I had those two growing up, obviously my dad and my uncle. You can't get, I still believe now that you can't get many better inspirational people in New Zealand. So I was very blessed to have them growing up.
Yeah. They went all right, didn't they?
Yeah, they were okay.
Okay, mate. They were okay. All right, mate. And finally, last question for you before we let you go. Who's the most famous person you've met?
Most famous person I've met? Ooh. That's a tough one.
You can't say your uncle.
Yeah, no. You've got me here. I've crossed paths with Cristiano Ronaldo at the Confederations Cup. So, I didn't really meet him, but I was close enough. So I consider that as good enough.
Did you get to kick him at least?
No, unfortunately not, mate. I didn't get close to him because I was getting splinters on the bench, but that was a pretty amazing moment. And when we versus Portugal in the Confederations Cup, I know I wasn't playing, but just sitting there and seeing how good they were, and it was very, very inspirational and very motivational.
Yeah, I bet, mate. I bet. Hey, listen, Alex, thanks very much for coming on and having a chat. Congrats on the new contract and on the recall to the All Whites as well, mate. And hopefully on Sunday, I can say congrats on the 3 points against the Victory as well, eh?
Yeah, awesome, mate. Thank you very much.
We're a couple of minutes away from 4 o'clock here on SENZ. This is Phoenix Nation with Ricardo. Thanks to Oppo. Big games, of course, this weekend. No TAB odds up at the moment for the Liberty A-League women's game between the Phoenix and the Victory at the Caketon. But I tell you what is coming up, and this is going to be pretty interesting, is next week there is a game between the Melbourne Victory and Melbourne City. Now, this is the game that got suspended due to crowd trouble, when the goalkeeper got hit in the head with a metal bucket and the crowd invaded. And that got called with 69 minutes left on the clock. Now, in everywhere else, any other league in the world, generally the fans of Melbourne Victory cause this, so they would lose that game 3-0, and then they'd just call it and they'd move on. But what the A-League have decided to do is they're going to continue to play that game from the 21st minute with the same lineups, at the score as standing. And so next Wednesday, you'll be able to tune in on Sky Sport and see 69 minutes of football, the Melbourne Derby. Is there anything more A-League than that? I don't think so. Anyway, that is Phoenix Nation for another week here on SENZ. Thanks to Oppo. When we come back, the run home. And Beaver's back with a story. A few of our listeners didn't believe yesterday about beating Anton Lennett-Brown off the stick in a golf competition yesterday. We'll get more on that, plus special guest star for the very first half hour as well. Stay tuned.